Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Our featured book today is Couples That Work, How to Thrive in Love and at Work. And it's written by an academic, very well-known, one of the top thinkers in her field. She is an associate professor of organizational behavior over at INSEAD. Her name is Jennifer Petriglieri. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So I understand that your research area of interest is understanding how our personal relationships shape who we are personally and professionally. That's fascinating. Can you set that in context of what you were trying to explore in this book?
Yeah, so more and more of us now are part of dual career couples. If we look mostly across Asia, especially the younger generation, we're looking at 70% or more. And for all your listeners in these couples, we know that our relationships deeply impact our careers. These two things are not separate.
Mm.
And what I was really trying to understand is how do they impact each other and with what consequences, and how can we manage that to make both our relationships and our careers work better?
Okay, so bottom line is, and here's a big question, you hear it all the time at conferences, can a woman have it all? Can a couple have it all?
Well, I think you define having it all, right?
As in, you know, a professional life that they're fiercely dedicated to, and a loving relationship and a home life as well. Or does someone always have to give?
It is possible. The big question is how, right? So it's possible. It's not easy. It takes a lot of investment and work. And I think what we want to talk about this morning is what is that work and investment it takes. And of course, that work and investment changes across the life cycle. It's different when we have small children, perhaps, than when our children are teenagers and when they've left the nest, at different stages of our career. And what the book tries to do is look at what are the challenges at each of those specific phases and how can we overcome them.
So you've identified three transitional phases.
Yes.
You call them. Let's start with the first one, when the honeymoon ends.
Yeah.
Oh.
Horrible.
That's when the real work starts.
That's when the real work starts. If we think about those early days of our relationship, they're wonderful, right? Because we can all think back to those days. We have this lovely new romance blossoming, but essentially our careers and our lives are going in parallel. We're not having to make big decisions. And so there's really no friction. But then at some point for all couples, we're faced with a big decision. It may be you get a job in another country. What do we do? Do I follow you? Do we go our separate ways? Big decision to make. Maybe it's about the first baby arrives. For anyone who has children, that's the end of parallel lives, right? That is it. And so what these decisions do is really make us think about how can we structure our lives in a way that we can have both, that we can both have the careers we want and have a decent relationship.
I love how with your each of your transitional phases, you give us some questions that couples can use to open the conversation around these transitions. So when it comes to the honeymoon, what is the key question when it ends? What is the key question that couples should focus on?
There's two key questions. The first is what really matters to us? What are the things that we're going to measure our life by? And so what are the things that we should make our choices against? And that might be a specific career goal. It might be the kind of family we want to become. It might be the way we want to parent our children. It's really important to set these principles so we can sort out the practicalities on top. The second big question is how are we going to support each other?
Mm.
Couples fail when they get into a tit-for-tat game. You know, I sacrifice this for you and you sacrifice that for me. There's always a winner and a loser in that situation. And that's when things start to go horribly wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a poker game.
It's not a poker game.
Where somebody wins, it's we win.
Yeah.
Or we lose.
Yeah.
If you can come together on the values and priorities.
Exactly.
That matter.
Exactly. And of course, everyone needs to do a little bit of give and take in a relationship.
Mm.
But that's different from you win this time and I lose this time.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Can both couples in a relationship be just as fiercely dedicated to their work and have a successful relationship?
Yes. And you know what I find, which is really counterintuitive, is often they're the most successful couples.
Really?
And it's because the challenges bring them together. So if we think of what's the most supportive relationship we can have, we tend to think of support as a kind of very British tea and sympathy, right? I'm going to make you feel good about yourself and make you feel great, which is lovely. It's not very helpful for our careers.
Mm.
The most helpful support for our careers is not that comfort zone support. It's the support where you're pushed out to take some risks. And in couples where both partners do this, what we see is both of their careers accelerate. Because if I'm pushing you forward in your career and you're pushing me forward, we're likely to accelerate. Now, it doesn't make for a smooth ride, right? It can be challenging along the way. But when I spoke to these couples in this position, they often felt like, it's a struggle, but I chose it, right? It's our choice. It's our struggle. And there's some meaning to that. Mm. We're pushing each other on and we're thriving. So yeah, it's possible and it takes a bit of work.
Oh, happy to hear that. So you study couples across 5 years.
Yeah.
This is all research-based, what we're talking
yes.
about here. A toolbox, really, for how couples can make it work. I wonder if you studied couples in Southeast Asia, because it seems to me that a big part of couples being able to make it work is the domestic household chores being taken care of by an economy of domestic workers that are positioned so that you don't have to necessarily be middle class to access domestic help. Because that's the work that still needs to happen no matter who's working, where you're working.
Absolutely.
The clothes need to be washed and the food needs to be put on the table. So, you know, is there any sense of the support structure in terms of domestic help that
yeah.
can help couples?
So definitely. I think within Southeast Asia, in many ways, you're privileged, right? You have a lot of that burden taken off. And we know that these day-to-day tasks can become real pain points. I think the one question for Southeast Asian couples is who manages that support?
Mm.
Sometimes that can be down to one partner or the other. Often the woman, not always, but often the woman. I think the other dynamic that happens in Southeast Asian families is the wider family dynamic. How do the grandparents get involved? How do the wider family get involved? And there can be a little bit more overlap than in other cultures. And that can cause a little bit more friction than for couples elsewhere. So there's a little bit swings and roundabouts.
All right. We're speaking with Jennifer Petriglieri. She is an associate professor at INSEAD, one of the best thinkers in her field, and we're talking about her brand new book, Couples That Work, How to Thrive in Love and at Work. So is there a secret formula we can all use?
There is. And I will tell you. It's not one thing you do, but what I found across couples in all sorts of different situations was the couples who really worked in the long term were couples who developed the habit of having deep conversations. Now, what do I mean by that? Because we all say it's all about conversations, but it really mattered what couples talked about. And so the deep conversations were conversations that didn't concern money, that didn't concern housework or children.
Hmm.
They were conversations around the values. What really matters to us? What are our principles? What are our values? And then using those as the decision criteria to make those choices around career prioritization, for example. What opportunities do we go after? The couples who were really grounded in that set of values, that set of priorities, really fared well. Now, of course, we all face challenges, right? People get sick, people die, life happens. So it's not that it was always a smooth ride, but over the long term, they felt most successful in their careers and in their relationship.
So fascinating. For many relationships, when it comes to friendships, you feel that they go through different seasons.
Yes.
And with a relationship like a marriage, you talk in this book fascinatingly about individuation as well. It's not just something that you do as an individual,
yeah.
but when you do it as part of a couple, then how does that dynamic change or work? Or what can you do to support that?
Yeah, and there's a sense that unless we're growing together as a couple, the couple's eventually going to fall apart. Of course, we go through phases, we go through big transitions. And who we are when we get together, maybe in our 20s or 30s, is very different from who we are in our 40s and 50s, and it should be. Mm. And the question is, how do we go through that process together to become the people we really want to be? And a lot of this comes down to how we support each other in the couples. And are we really challenging each other and pushing each other to try new things? And that's very counterintuitive in a couple, because when we think of couples, we think good couples keep each other close. And often we get stuck in our ways a little bit. We're invested in our partners being a certain way, mm. doing a certain job. Maybe we get status from their job. And suddenly we think, well, I know it might be better for them to do this, but I'm probably not going to encourage them to do that because it's better for me they stay still. That's when things start to go awry.
Right, right. The subconscious stifling of
Absolutely.
Your couple, because you don't want them to change because there's a fear of if they change, will I have to change?
Absolutely. And it cuts both ways, right? Mm. Oftentimes, I was talking to an audience last night and someone was saying, well, you know, when I want to change, I go out and talk to the people closest to me and get their advice. And I said, well, that's maybe not necessarily the best thing to do because they're invested in you staying as you are. And we need to be careful of that in our couples because then we can really stay stuck together.
Okay, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're seeing couples face in this new global economy or, you know, world of work, and how can they overcome that?
Yeah, so the biggest kind of challenge outside the couple is really the challenge of mobility. So we know that careers are not, you know, no one joins an organization and stays for 30 years anymore. And so there's a lot of choices around geographic mobility, but also just the transitions between roles. It's very stressful for a couple to manage that. And most career advice is really aimed at the single person with no strings attached. So we talk about careers and we talk as if there's no family following, there's no partner. Mm. And that's really tricky for couples because there's no roadmap for how to navigate this with a partner in tow. So that's the external dynamic. I think within the couple, the biggest thing to deal with is power. Mm. And if we think about it, you know, if we rewind 30, 40 years, it was easy. The men had most of the power. I'm not saying it was good, but it was easy, right? It was a clear formula. That's no longer the case. And time again, I saw in my couples, the issue was power struggles. And when I say power, what do I mean in a couple, right?
Yeah.
Power is who gets supported to go in the direction they want, to chase their dreams, to chase their ambitions. And it's really tricky because when we first get together, we tend to be very supportive, right? Oh, you want to do this? Great. When kids come along, when we need to look after elderly parents, it gets a lot more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a question, how do we deal with this? And very, very often, the power balance tips in a couple so that the couple becomes a vehicle by which one is supported to do what they want to do and pursue their dreams, and the other is the support crew. And it's not necessarily about who earns the most. You know, I was talking to a couple the other day, and he's actually a CEO. So on the surface, very powerful guy, very high status, very successful. But he said, you know, Jennifer, I feel like a failure.
Really?
And I'm like, how's that possible? He said, there were all these other things I wanted to do, but I got in this track, and his wife was an entrepreneur. And he's like, I was earning enough money that I just had to keep going to support her dreams. So he was left feeling, I've been externally successful, but actually there were all these paths I wanted to try and I wasn't able to.
Gosh.
And this is really tough in couples, is balancing this power so we both get a shot at our dreams.
Yeah, because it's not a 50-50 thing. It never is, you know. Sometimes it's 100 and 0 or 80 and 20. You know, doesn't that shift all the time?
It does. And I think this ideal of the 50-50 marriage is a little bit of a mirage because it's impossible. It's impossible either at any point in time or over time. There's always ebbs and flows, both in our own careers. There's times when we need to really push and we want to make a transition, and times where maybe we want to take our foot off the gas a little bit and perhaps invest in our family, our friends, our community. Mm. And the best couples kind of pass this between each other a little bit. They're not obsessed with day to day. Are we exactly 50-50? Yeah. That's an unrealistic
goal. There's no scorecard in the sky. Yeah. Before we let you go, Jennifer, about 15 seconds on the clock. What do you say to couples, dual career couples, I know you're one half of one as well, who are struggling at the moment? Where should they start?
They should really get away from what's happening in the day-to-day and have those conversations about what really matters to us, what are our values, and then work up from there.
Fascinating. Well, thank you. It's been a privilege chatting with you. Great book, Couples That Work, How to Thrive in Love and at Work is what I'm reading, and it's by Jennifer Petruglieri.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.